chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the who? Children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. All right, now today we would like to talk further about living in the supernatural. And for practical purposes here, I'm trying to figure out what to name this today. And one of the names that came to me was imitate God. Imitate God, or imitators of God. The other one, we were leaving from where we were last time, which was have faith in God. All of is good. We are, again, in these last days where God is expecting more from us than just the natural. Because it takes more than that to advance the kingdom. And like Pastor Bobby Ennin said on promo, we've been sent here to finish his work. Not just work, finish it. And so we got work to do. And we need the supernatural to enable us to do that, to be able to shorten evangelism, if nothing else, down by centuries. To just, you know, one miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. If you don't believe that, you work one, see. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see that the church was born out of the supernatural. You'll see that all through the book of Acts, that's what characterizes the book of Acts, is the acts of the Holy Ghost, the miracles and signs and wonders. And then if you look in Thessalonians, where it talks about the church being taken up, we're going to be taken up supernatural. I mean, you're going to leave here in the twinkling of an eye. So we are the supernatural church. Say this, I am the supernatural church. That's what you are. So now we need to walk in that. Because what we've done is we've seen and heard a lot of word. But where are the works? I'd like you to go over with me to Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he says here in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, when it says followers of God, that word followers in the Greek is a word where we get our word mimic, means imitate. So when you and I are supposed to imitate God. Now, he wouldn't ask us to do that if he didn't give us the equipment to imitate him with. Got it? Because he's placing a demand now on the potential that you and I have. And the potential that we have is virtually unlimited. I mean, it is huge. And what we need to do is find out how to tap into that potential or allow God to help us release that potential so that we could do the works that God has done. Now he's saying, imitate me. And think about it. If you're full of the word, you're going to talk the word. And if you talk the word, you're talking just like God. My God, you're talking just like God. Well, okay, praise God, you're right. So here it says, for us, imitate God. So if we look at our lives, the Bible said back in Adam that Adam was born. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then God, verse 28, blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. So basically, Adam was the exact duplicate of God. God created a creative being. Now, Satan wasn't on that category. He wasn't at that level. The Bible says over in Psalms, and Psalms chapter 8, and Psalm chapter 8 and starting, around about verse 5, I think it is. He says, get that, and I want to just turn to it and read it. He says, no, I'll start at verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now that kind of gives a, you got to go in and see what the Hebrew of angels says. It means you've made him a little lower than God. Watch this. And have crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now notice what he put him under. He said, you have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing, creeps, every creeping thing that creeps upon this earth. Do you agree that the devil is a creep? The enemy is were part of the works of God's hands that God has placed man over. And that's what Satan was jealous about and so forth, because he was the anointed cherub that covered, but he was still an angel. See? And now he's lost his place and man is over him. Got it? Now, because of the sins of Adam, man fell below Satan. And now Satan was the one who was called the God of this world, where he took Adam's title. But now Jesus came and he's called the last Adam and he got the title back. Matter of fact, he had a title bout with the enemy right down in hell and defeated him in open combat. Got the title, got the heavyweight title back. Praise God. Jesus, our hero. Amen. Okay. Yep. But now here Jesus, and he's picking disciples now, and he's saying to the disciples, he said, now, okay. Now, the works that I do, shall you do too. And greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to pray for you. And in fact, it's not me, but it's the Father in me. He's doing the work. See? I'm the one with the authority here because I'm like you. I'm coming with authority. Now, true enough, he was fully God and fully man, but he set his Godhead ability aside so he could become as a man and be able to walk this earth. And so to do that, he had to set the Godhead ability aside. He did that, didn't operate in it one time. Satan tried to trick him into it. He said, hey, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread, right there. See, trying to draw him into his God side. but he was the Son of God. Let me show you something. Look what it says over here in Hebrews. Now I got to stay on track here today, so don't y'all pull me off track. Hebrews chapter 1. Are you with me? He said this in verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father. Watch this. And he shall be to me what? A son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He's quoting all this from the Old Testament. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, keep going, O God, is forever and ever. That a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus is God. Well, demons don't like you to say that, boy, I tell you. A guy told me that one time over in Africa. So he said, watch this. Watch me stir up some demons. Jesus is God. Well, who gets what he's got stirred up? Yeah. It's just as much God as God is God. Okay. So as you look at this, you go back and Jesus is saying, wait a minute. I'm not the one that's doing it. The Father's doing it. Now, what has been happening when Jesus went back, that we have an inheritance. And God's ability is part of your inheritance. Let me say it again. God's ability is a part of your inheritance. Well, if you're dealing with God and hanging with God, I mean, what's impossible for God? Nothing. Nothing. Look what he says over here. Turn to Genesis chapter 20, please. Genesis chapter 20. We just kind of doing a little warm up here. Genesis chapter 20. Sometimes it's good to warm up. Yeah. This is what he said. Oh boy, did I, just a minute. Ooh, yeah, Genesis chapter 18. All right, let me just read you one verse, verse 14. Is anything too hard? Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yes or no? Well, greater is he that is in you. Come on, let's go over to Mark's gospel. And Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Let me know when you get to Mark chapter 10. All right, look what it said in verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So what we said is that the church has to come back to the God factor. Because we've been making some of the same statements that the world's making, but we're supposed to be talking like God. We're supposed to be talking like Him. The Bible says that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55, verse 8. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Then he says, as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow, water through the earth and make it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It's up on the board. So he wants your thought to be like his thought. Because that's where Adam was. Adam had the mind of God. But Jesus, because he got you back in with a relationship with God, now he says you have the mind of Christ. That's the same mind that created this world. You got that mind in you right now. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. So my tell to you is, wait a minute, people talk about, well, you know, I'm getting old and my mind ain't what it used to be. You heard all of that kind of stuff. See, where'd they get that from? They got that from the world. Well, what will they get as a result of that? They'll get exactly what they said. Well, he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Not that you're supposed to stay down there, but come on up to my thoughts, my way of thinking. Now, you can't let come out of your mouth anymore. Well, we can't afford that. Whoa, now, hold on. Hold on now. Is that talking like God? See, for us to release the ability, which is our heritage, then we're going to have to act like him. We're going to have to, by faith, receive what he did so that his ability can be released through our speech and through our actions. How about talking? God taught Abraham how to talk. He said, all right, this is the way I want you to do it. Call things that be not. Come on now. As though they were. Don't do like me, Abraham. When I saw darkness, I called it light. Say amen to that. So in your situation, your finances, you got to call something. Come on now. I'm talking about the ability of God coming in on your behalf and make things happen. Here was David. David knew the covenant. Here was David. He came to the front line. The first thing he asked is this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? If you go in that Bible, you'll see that God keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. You're under that covenant. And notice David never separated him and God. The covenant wraps you together. That's why I'm married, and that this ring symbolizes that I'm in covenant. But you, once you got born again, you got a circumcision of heart. You got a circumcised spirit. You got a cut on your spirit that is just like me branding cattle that says, these cattle belong to the Double R Ranch. Well, you got some kind of a mark on you that said you belong to him. See? And the devil can see that mark. Now you got to walk in that. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. And you got to do it by faith because you can't see it in the natural, but you got to believe by faith that it's there. Here's David walking to the front line and Saul said, now how are you going to do this? This guy's been trained in war from his youth. David said, that didn't make any difference. God's been trained in war from the before time was. He's a man of war. David comes to the front line. Now, notice what he did. Now, the Philistine began to curse God, curse David by his gods. And David said, okay, I hear what you're saying. But you coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name. Boy, I didn't mean to end up here, but I'm here again. Now notice, for him to get victory, he was going to have to leave the natural and move to the supernatural. And a lot of God's people, you got to be willing to leave the natural and not feel like you're being embarrassed by moving out of the pack. Come on now, you got to, in the middle of the battle, declare the victory. Oh boy. Am I talking to the right bunch here? I've got to declare that victory. This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. Now, this is good that he said this day. Because if you go on down in that same verse, put it up there. I think he started verse 1 Samuel chapter 17. I think it started verse 54, something like that. I think that's where it started at. Okay. So he said 1 Samuel 17:54. And David took the... No, it took the head off. Okay, come on back to verse 45. Verse 45, please. 47. 45. I'm just trying to give him some exercise. 47. Speed it up, you know what I mean? This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I'll smite and take your head off of you. And I'll give your carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day. Each time this day. This day. See, when you think you got to do it, you'll wait till next Tuesday. But that's, see, I'm telling you, your whole mindset will change when you know God is doing it. Because God doesn't have to do it this day. He can do it this second. This second will the Lord deliver you in mind. Well, that's what it amounted to. Put it back up there, please. And notice what he said. He said, this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all that the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Keep going. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle, keep going, is the Lord's. Well, wait a minute. Now, I haven't finished that verse. It's still there? Okay, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Are you following what I'm saying? So the battle is his. My job is to believe he'll do his job. Because I've shot my mouth off now. Come on now. And I'm out here now. Now, come on, God. I'm out here. Say amen to this. But he said, I'll never leave you or let you be embarrassed. All right, let me say a couple more things. Jesus taught the supernatural. He taught the supernatural. Now let's look at a couple of places on that. Look at Mark chapter 17, please. Mark 17. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 24. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 17. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 17. See, when we have wrong thinking, we'll have wrong actions. God can't work through you except to the degree that you believe. And if you don't believe he can do it this day, then as far as you're concerned, he can't do it. But I'm saying we got to correct our thinking, because what normally is supposed to take a moment, we're stretching it out to a year. And we need to start thinking a little bit differently. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor your ways my ways. You've got to have the thoughts there for the ways to be there. Verse 24. And when they were come into Capernaum, they that received tribute is taxes, money, came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now there's a lot of revelation in here. And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened its mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, what am I saying? I said Jesus taught the supernatural. If you want to see the supernatural, you got to teach the supernatural. And he taught them the supernatural. Notice what he told them. Go to the sea. He didn't tell them to go get a job. He said, go to the sea, and we're going to pull some supernatural money out of a fish's mouth. Come on, Now, Peter had to be somewhat caught up here because he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. I mean, if he didn't really believe this, he would have said, man, I'm going, man, come on, man. Come on now. But this is the supernatural living. This is not natural living, folks. You've been made for supernatural living. Keep going. Matthew chapter 14. Look what it says here. Jesus came walking on the water. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, nope, stay in the boat, because I don't want y'all to come out here and experience this. What did he tell him to do? Come. Come on over to Luke. Luke chapter 4, please. Over Luke chapter 4. Now, I'm only telling you this because what you've been trying to do is many of you have been trying to manage in the natural, and it's not good enough, not for these times. You're going to need to go up another notch. You're going to have to go up to the supernatural. Look at Luke chapter 4. Here's Jesus. He's saying, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, so forth and so on. And going down to verse 23, and he said to them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman who was a widow. Now, hold it. Now, you're looking at this. He's teaching the supernatural. He is saying, wait a minute. Now, let me tell you something. When the famine was on, God sent the prophet to a person who wasn't even under the covenant, because the folks under the covenant wouldn't accept the prophet. And he asked the widow to give her last money. They knew this story. They knew this. I'm telling you that the supernatural says, I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. Well, let me tell you, even when I'm trying to teach it, well, I'm saying, okay, are they going to go, okay, what am I going to do with it? Because when you teach this, see, a little voice inside of you saying, what if it doesn't work? Well, hey, I'm not responsible for that. I got to preach this. I got to preach that this woman gave her last seed. I've got to preach that this next person here, he was a man named Naaman, and here he was, had leprosy, came to Elisha, and he needed cleansing, and the man of God heard from God. God said, tell him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Well, he said, wait a minute. Over in the Old Testament, Naaman said, wait a minute. The rivers of Pharpar are much cleaner. I can go over there. And then he turned in a rage and started going and left. and the servant running beside him with the horse. The servant looked up at him and said, Master, if he'd have told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done that? And he thought about it and said, well, yeah, I guess I would have. Why don't you go ahead and dip? You know, I'm putting it in my own words. Why don't you go ahead and dip? It ain't going to hurt you, will it? So he goes down one time. Now all his boys looking at him. Is this going to work? See, the prophet wasn't responsible for bringing it to pass. The prophet was responsible for telling him what was going to happen if he obeyed God. And I'm telling you right now, it's not the man. The man doesn't do the work. My job is to tell you what the Bible says and what God has spoken. And if you obey this, this will happen in your life. He dipped one time. Two times, three times, four times, five times, six times. Looked around, see if anybody looking there was laughing at him. Seven times, came up clean as a whistle. I'm telling you, this is a time we're in, folks, that it's time for the supernatural. Nothing natural could heal the man. The man now needed the power of God. And the church is the conduit for the power of God to flow to anybody saved and unsaved. It doesn't make any difference, folks. You're out there, and if you got guts enough to say it, God's got power enough to do it. And you can't say anything too big for God. Now we got to step out on some of this. We got to not be ashamed of the gospel. We got to believe that God's word is true. And the power of the word comes with the word. If the word is released in the believing heart, the power is right there. And the other thing about it I taught during the faith refresher is that the word of God, full of faith, goes right down to the very root of what's causing the problem. You see, you might have strife in your home. That's because you need to break that strife off at the root. You can cancel the demons that have been sent there to cause strife to come in your home. You can cut strife off at the root. I'm telling you, cancer can be cut off at the root because I made a statement to you all. Here's what the statement that I made to you, that everything starts in the spirit. Everything starts in the spirit. Everything that is material has its origin in the spirit. Everything that is material has its origin in the spirit. Watch this. And material things are dependent on spiritual things for their existence. Things that you can see are dependent on something you can't see for their existence. You can see my body right here. If my spirit went on with the Lord, and I'll be around here a long time, but when it does, what will happen to my body? It will fall to the dust. What will happen to it if nobody ever picks it up? It will go back to the dust. And the reason why, because ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You could see my body only because my spirit is in there. So the spiritual things, the natural things, are dependent upon the spiritual things for their existence. If you can see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, and smell it, it is natural. So I'm saying that you can feel, people can feel cancer. People, come on now, people can feel something. I'm saying if you can feel it, it's got a root. And the thing of it is, if you can speak and release faith, faith will cut off the root. What does a root do to a plant? A root gets the food out of the soil and sends it through the plant to nourish the plant. If you cut the roots off of the plant, what would the plant do? It would have to die because what is unseen is keeping what is seen in place. Nothing can exist without that spiritual component. Nothing can exist. No sickness, no strife, no divorce, no nothing. If you can see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, and smell it, it's got a root. And saints are the only one that can go to the root of any. And you think your words are not important? Folks, you can even tithe. And if you tithe and speak against it, that tithe will be negated. Your heavens will not be open. That's how powerful your words are. By your words, you shall be justified. By your words, you shall be condemned. God didn't get off his throne one time. He just spoke. And he's created you to imitate him. Speak, praise God. And you say it, and then believe what you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatever you say. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was teaching them that. They were going over to the other side. Storm comes up. That storm was going to, it was going to sink that boat. The devil had stirred that storm up. And they walk up Jesus and accuse him that he didn't care. See, they're trying to get him in strife. And he didn't even say nothing to him. He started speaking to the storm. Because everything that you can see got a root that you can't see. And if you cut it off at the root, that got to go away. Say amen to that. Amen. Jesus spoke, and the moment he spoke, great calm. Great. He didn't wait on the storm to pass. Well, praise God, it's getting better. No, it wasn't none of that. He said, peace, right now. Be still. Folks, we got that. But that power is in him that we have a heritage of. His ability is our inheritance. Y'all with me? Folks, we can curse cancer at the root. Shandarabahaya. Folks, medicine don't heal nobody. Medicine sets up the environment that healing can take place. So it doesn't heal anybody. What heals you is the word. What heals you is the word. Now you get that word. He himself bore my sickness and carried my diseases. By his stripes I was healed. Or surely he has borne my sickness, diseases, carried my pain and sorrows. Yet they did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement out of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Surely he has borne my sickness and carried. You start hammering that thing in there. Pretty soon, it'll start coming out of your spirit. And it is a sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Cutting those roots up. And the next thing you know, that cancer will get off. And you'll wonder where it went. Where it went is back where it came from, in the pit of hell. Now, we got to believe what we say. Come on. It's going to come to pass. But the first thing we got to do is believe God, what he said. Have faith, come on, in God. Huh. Y'all got me preaching here. I didn't mean to preach this hard. What made you is the word. What can fix you is the word. Now that's the truth. What we got to do is get back over there. Because we've heard a lot of historical Jesus. Well, didn't he go up and didn't the wise men come and we made little plays and all that. Well, what about the supernatural? That's what we've been made for. Isaiah 8:18 says, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are made for signs and wonders. All right, let's go to one more place. Let's go. Man, Now, let me just give you something. I'm going to just give you this. Just no charge. God had a meeting with me the other morning. And well, he does just about every morning. But I knew he was going to get me on this because I kind of lost my cool. Didn't I tell you I was working on self-control? And so I kind of, you know, fussed. And not cussed, fussed. Okay? All right. And so what happened was I knew it because he didn't want me to do any of that. So I said, Lord, I said, what? He came and said, now, let me tell you why that fussing and arguing is not good. He said, what it's after is your image. He said, you have come or in a family of divine royalty. That's the family you're in. And the enemy is trying to destroy that image. He said, I'm busy trying to build it. But he's trying to destroy it. And when you start fussing, then you're not anymore building that image. But it's working against you, destroying that image. Because royalty does not fuss. Then he said this, also inside of you, when you got born again, I have put seeds of greatness. And there are seeds of greatness in every believer. And he says, not only when you speak things and fuss, but when you think negative thoughts, you build an environment where the seed can no longer germinate by your thought life. By your thought life. Folks, there are people that can get on an airplane and think so hard about this airplane might crash until you got to give them some kind of pill or some kind of something. They have to give them something to try to cool them down. And it's all thought life. Airplane hadn't even taken off yet. Got it? Those seeds, Joseph had to have Egypt to germinate. Bananas don't grow in Alaska. Inside of you are seeds of greatness. And your thoughts establish the environment. Faith is positive. Fear is negative. And everything comes with it. Depression, everything else comes with it. Faith is positive. You need that environment because you came from the eternal. You were born out of the eternal, out of heaven, and there's no negative in heaven. Heaven's got to be in you so that those seeds would germinate and grow and the potential that God has placed in you will begin to blossom. He said, that's why I didn't want you to fuss. He said, you don't see a king fussing with anybody. And there are people, you might be sitting and listening to my voice on the internet. You can't sleep well unless you had a good fuss. No, really. 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 Can't sleep well. I got to fuss with somebody. Call somebody on the phone. And not satisfied till you got in an argument. Hang up. Well, don't call me no more. Well, praise God. I bless. I'm going to go down and lay down now and get some sleep. You know who I'm talking to. You fuss from morning to night. And you're looking for a fight all the time because your system is used to it. It has been, it feeds on fussing. I'm talking to somebody right now. It feeds on a good argument. Let me have a good one just before we get to church. I'm gonna have a good one right in this car. And so far, I'm reading your mail now. But I'm only doing it by the Holy Ghost because he's trying to get you out of that. I'm telling you, certain people, that's all they do. They give you, you know, you want to see, hear something good. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, man, I tell you, they start giving you an organ recital. You know, organ, my heart hurts. You know, my kidney been back, you know, my liver. I'm telling you, my pancreas, you know, my head, I've been having these things. Just organ. You don't want to hear that? You don't need to hear it. What you need to do is get back in God's speech. Everything is fine, thank you. Praise God, I'm calling things that be not as though they were. They're just fine. Just fine. How are you doing? Praise the Lord. Poor folk can't help poor folk. Y'all know what I mean by poor? Poor, I mean, should have said poor. Okay. Rich people have to help poor people. If you're down, you can't help somebody else. How are you going to help somebody else? You need help. But you're supposed to be up. Why? Because you're supposed to be walking in heaven's atmosphere. Amen. All the time. All the time. Man just said something about you. Boss man just treating you right, something like that. You come out of the office, they tell you, how's it going? Going fine. Now the devil can't get in the entrance. Because pretty soon you're about to go to, you know, own the company. Amen. Notice Joseph. He is down there in prison. Wasn't he in prison? Mrs. Potiphar had filed a sexual harassment suit on him and so forth. And he was down there in prison now. Now notice, the butcher and the baker, the candlestick maker, somebody got thrown out of that Pharaoh's place and got put in prison. And Joseph saw him and said, why are y'all looking so sad? Now, you know if you sad, you are not going to ask anybody else why they're sad. You're in the worst situation in your life and you're going to ask somebody else why they're sad. I'm only telling you that is that you got to fight your flesh because that flesh is strictly your house. It's not supposed to conduct the affairs of your life. And if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to leave these five senses. You're going to have to leave them behind and let them no longer dictate to you how you feel, what you can do, how far you can go, and what you can have. You go to that Bible and let that Bible tell you everything about you, that you are royalty, that you are the king's kid, that you are his offspring, that you can do all things. You go to that Bible and don't come out of it until you're convinced. I know some of y'all sitting here, well, he's talking all that. Yes, I'm talking to it. I told you I'm still working on it, but I tell you, at least I'm working on it. At least I know what I got to work on. Some people are walking in such schizophrenia until they don't even know what they're walking in. I'm telling you, God's going to remove that so that you can walk in the promises of God, and God will bless you just like he's always wanted to. Those promises are yours and you're going to get them, and you keep coming up in here, I'm going to have you to walk in faith that you never thought you could walk in. I'm not going to give up on you because he didn't give up on me. Say amen to that. How many of y'all made a mistake in your life? How many of y'all made two mistakes? How many of y'all made the same mistake more than twice? I'm just telling you, did God give up on you? No, he didn't give up on you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All right, last place. Let's go over here to James, please, in James chapter 5. Oh, we all working on something. Say, I'm working on something. If you say you're not working on something, you're a lie and your breath stank. No, I don't. You know that's not true. Okay. All right. Let's just finish this up real quick. Now, I've given you a lot today already, but let me just finish it up right here. Number five, okay? All right, now this is on prayer. I'm just give you this real quick because we got to run down to Tuskegee today. Let me just give you this real quick. All right. Prayer. Now, prayer is the way that we release the ability of God. Prayer. We have a legal right to ask God to supernaturally intervene on our behalf. A legal right. Okay? Now, prayer, again, releases the ability of God. It is part of the God factor. Somebody said, well, let's all get together and pray. Another person says, has it come to that? No, wait a minute. You should have prayed first. It's a normal part of the believer's life, is prayer. You with me? All right, now, the Bible says, put up there Hebrews, just keep this right where you got it. Put up there Hebrews chapter 4, 16, please. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of what? Grace, underline grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. Now, prayer in faith is what will change things in your life. When you start praying in faith, something's happening. Wrong prayer can hold you in bondage. You with me? Let's look at this that I'm showing you right here. And he says here, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we what? Have the petition that we desired of him. In your Bible, where you have, put have as a faith fact. Have as a faith fact. Now, not going to get, because I caution you, this is very slippery right here that I'm talking about. Have as a faith fact, not going to get, but you have the petition that we desired of him. Got it? All right. Okay. Now, when you do pray, and pray God's way, the less you speak, the better. Coming over to Ecclesiastes, y'all did come in here to learn, didn't you? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Okay. Because faith is a rest. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 4. Look what it says here. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they considered not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Are you with me? Now, I want you to see this, because you have to many times formulate your prayer. If this is something that you're earnestly seeking from God or His intervention supernaturally, then it's going to have to line up with the word. And don't be quick all the time to pray, because what you pray and say is very lethal. Glory to God. Is very important. Now, if you look at Matthew, I'm taking two scriptures real quick. Well, I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And look what it says here. In verse 7, this is talking about prayer. But when you pray, use not what? Vain repetition. Do you have that? That's Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. But when you pray, use not what? Vain repetitions, as the who do? Heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for what? That much speaking. And there are people who think because they pray long that God's going to hear them. I got news for you. You probably can get more action in 2 minutes than you can in that half hour prayer you just prayed. Because what people do is they pray and don't believe. But some of the more faith you have sometimes is the shorter that prayer is. Say amen to that. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job. That's just before the book of Psalms. And look at Job chapter 1. Ooh-wee. Am I keeping you? Am I too, if you will? We're going to get the supernatural back in the church, folks. Look what it says in verse 5. Job chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have what? Sin, and curse God in their hearts. Thus did Job what? Continually. Now, as you know, the devil came in on Job. Took his business, took his cattle, destroyed his family, his kids, and so forth. All was accidents, supposedly. But the devil was behind it. It was a root cause for what happened. And look at chapter 3 and verse 25. Remember what I said. When you really prayed in faith, then you come to a rest. Look what it says in verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. I was not in what? Safety, neither had I rest. Never prayed it in faith. never prayed in faith. So it probably did him more harm. And I'm just saying that the enemy tries to draw you into thinking your prayer was not heard. All right, last place, we'll quit. Acts chapter 12, please. This is when Peter was put in prison. And he was in prison with a man named Herod. With James, another apostle James. Look at verse 1. Now about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 centurions of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter, he's going to bring him before to the people. So he's planning on killing Peter too. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. For Peter now. Lord have mercy. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison, behold, an angel of the Lord came into him. All right, you know the story. Angel got him, put on his coat, led him out. The angel eventually went one way, Peter went another way. Where did Peter go? Went down to the people's house who were praying. Come down to verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I don't care how many you got. Are they praying in faith? And as Peter knocked at the door, the gate, the damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for the gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "You are mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It's his angel." Why did they say that? Because they thought Peter had been executed. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. I bet you Rhoda wasn't astonished. Rhoda's the one that got him out. I'm telling you, we have a bunch of folk praying for you, but if they ain't praying the word of God and they're not praying in faith, I'm telling you, that prayer just going up like a scatter shot is not doing anything, but real prayer gets answers every time. I'll say it again. Real prayer gets answers every time. Can I show you one more place? Just one more. I'm going to let you go. Look at, glory to God. Look at 2 Kings 18, please. 2 Kings 18. In 2 Kings 18, this is where King Hezekiah was being assaulted by the Assyrians, and they were coming down, and they had taken all the suburbs and all the other cities round about where Hezekiah was there in Judah. And now they're coming after Hezekiah. Hezekiah starts backing up, and he starts giving them the gold off the doorknobs of the temple to try to pay them off to leave him alone. How many of you know the devil just wants to back you up and back you up and back you up? So now Hezekiah doesn't know what to do. So he sends some of his embassies to the prophet Isaiah. And as he sent them to Isaiah, verse 6 of 2 Kings 19. Verse 6, and Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of these words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I'm not going to even get his blood spilled on your land. They go back to the king. Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. The letter was the word of God. Say, word of God. You got that letter in your lap right now. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. He prayed that prayer. Verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I told you in John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we're going to have it. Praise God. We know we have it. Look what it says in verse 35, please. And it came to pass that night. Not the next week. Come on now, you don't need to fight some legal battle in court for 6 months. It came to pass that night. The only reason we fight in these battles so long is because we're not dealing with the supernatural. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. One angel, 185,000 men he smote. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now, what am I telling you? I've known in a time that thing wasn't happening right in my life. I went to everybody and left the house, and I took that Bible and I spread that thing before the Lord. And I said, Lord, wait a minute now. You said something here. You said in your word. You follow what I'm saying? The thing it is, we try to tell God the problem. He said over in Matthew, he understands the problem. He knows the problem. He knows what you have need of before you ask. It's not that. The Bible says in Corinthians, God cannot deny himself. He cannot forsake his word. He's looking for you to get off the problem side and get on the Lord's side and remind him of what he said. Guaranteed, your prayer will be answered. Here was two men, Paul and Silas, in jail, and at midnight, the Bible says they prayed, and after they prayed, they gave praises to God, and all of a sudden, the whole jail shook. Everybody's cell door flew open, and the man who was keeping the jail saw and thought everybody had escaped and took a knife to kill himself, because at that time, if you were a guard and you let them escape, they took your life. He was about to kill himself. Paul stepped out and said, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. The man came in with a light and looked at Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? I'm telling you, the world is looking for the supernatural. You're going to find people going to come from miles around because they are looking for the supernatural. They're looking for something that can solve their problems. And you are the problem solver, and miracles are about to start in here now. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Hallelujah. Woo! Now that was a long lesson. Woo! Got to get out of here.